You're here because you want more. More engagement. More delight. More fun. More learning. You're hungry for change and willing to take action.
If you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original.
Welcome to the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
Let's take learning to the next level.
Hello, everybody. Anna Sabramowitz here. Hope you're having a fabulous day. How are you, my friends? So listen, this week and the next couple of weeks, what I really wanted to talk to you about is just, you know, how to get past the resistance that you're facing and some tips and strategies on how to get the projects that are creative and the projects that you can see are going to push not only the team, but are going to push the value of the things that you deliver to the next level, right? How do you do that? And it's kind of cool because I got a letter from somebody who's one of my subscribers. We're going to call her Judy to protect the innocent. And she's struggling with some things at work. And I thought this would actually be perfect instead of me replying to her, just her and her getting this advice that you get to experience it too and hope you find it valuable. So if that's exciting and interesting, stick around. I'm just going to make sure to open up my feeds here so I can see your comments. And wherever you're visiting from, I hope you say hi. All right. So obviously, Judy had gone to my elearningsecrets.com, got excited about interactive storytelling, and saw the demo that I always share with everybody, which is Broken Coworker, right? And she wrote an email to me, so I'll read that to you guys. But the reason I can probably, she probably related with me is that when I first started pitching ideas, there was a mindset that I had about how things should be. And also I was very naive in a lot of ways about how people actually respond to new ideas and how I was pitching those ideas. And that really had an effect on my success rate, right? So what I'm going to share with you here is not something I read in a book decided I was going to do research on and then now compile that research and give it to you. This is actually based on my own experiences. Some of it might not work for you, right? Some of it will work for you, some of it will not. And so my goal is to give you enough ammo and some perspectives to try that if the propensity will be successful for you to actually, you know, get what you want, all right? So let me just read this email from Judy. So she said, her subject line was, would love to do what you do, all right? So she said, hi, Anna. I had the chance to experience your interactive story, The Broken Coworker. This is exactly the kind of work I want to be doing. And honestly, got inspired by so much that I pitched it to my manager. It's not the first time that I've pitched storytelling and scenarios, but at least this time I had an example to share. The problem is that it felt like just another drop in the bucket. My boss dismissed it yet again with reasons like scope, time, and we're not that kind of company. For example, people here are focused and serious and don't need stories to help them do good work. They just need better training. And I'm feeling discouraged and starting to feel like a broken record. Literally, in all of our ideation meetings, everyone now just has this line they use like, oh boy, here comes Judy with her crazy ideas again. And at first it was fun, but now it's starting to really grate on me and I feel like I have not had no impact at all. Should I just suck it up here or do I have to find another job that leads to the kinds of projects that are not just content vomit on click next screens? Ew. Okay, so obviously in a little bit of a rut. So here's some of my ideas on how to tackle this, right? And it's going to be a mix of strategy, it's going to be a mix of persuasion, and it's going to be a mix of I was like racking my brain. I'm like, what should I tell Judy that would actually be helpful to her and that she could try without, having to quit her job? Because, I mean, I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, let me know what you're thinking here, but wherever you go, right, there you are. And so if you're feeling like you're experiencing the same problems over and over again, maybe there's a common denominator. Maybe it's something you're bringing. So sometimes people, and I've done this, I've team jumped, right? I'm like, ah, you know what? If I was on that cool team, or if I had this boss who was like this, then everything would be different, right? But the thing is, everywhere you go, there is resistance to change. Everywhere you go, there is going to be people who are going to be afraid of trying something new. Everywhere you go, people are going to be unaware when you say, let's do an interactive story or let's do scenario-based. They're going to be freaked out. They're not going to know what it is. And one of the ways that I've messed up in the past is I would go in to... let's say you get newly hired, right? And this happens. You get newly hired and you're like, oh, I want to prove myself, right? I want to show them that they're all the creative reasons why they hired me. I'm going to deliver. And the challenge is that you're coming in to an established, you know, place that has, you know, that people have invested their years into creating, crafting. So, you know, you're going to go in and look at stuff, and I have... And I'm like, man, that sucks. We could do better. But the problem with just pitching new ideas all the time is that, not necessarily pitching new ideas. Pitching new ideas is actually super awesome, and people should not ever give that up. But one of the things is the approach you take when you're suggesting something new has to be very strategic, because as I've discussed before, everybody has a, you know, this is their baby. Like when you're coming in and you're criticizing somebody's baby, you never call anybody's baby ugly, right? Because it's their baby. And so really what we're doing with that work is we're saying, hey, your baby's ugly. And nobody is going to love that narrative, right? Nobody's going to love that approach. What they're going to do is they're going to initially probably just completely shut you down or rationalize why their baby is still perfect, you know, as it is. And so what happens is you have to be very strategic with that, because you're trampling on people's egos and work. And even if your idea is amazing, people will, the more you argue against them not being right, the more they're going to dig in their heels and refuse your ideas. And so one of the things that I found, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that I found from your email is you said, you know, now it's become a pattern where you pitch ideas and everybody goes, oh, here she goes again, right? And that's a pattern. And that's a pattern you need to break. And so there's ways to break that pattern, and here are some strategies. And Dr. Crystal Walker saying she might also consider using the storytelling format in a case study that can be applicable to the training. I've taken that approach and learners actually feel more connected to the training. Yeah. There's a ways to do that, definitely, and that's fantastic. So one of the things that I say is break that pattern right now. So if you're coming into idea and if you're coming in and everybody's just like, oh, you know, here's Judy, she's gonna pitch another crazy idea. Maybe the thing is that you start drawing on everybody's got creative ideas, and maybe they're just intimidated by yours, but maybe you start sourcing people in your meetings to say, okay, what are you thinking? And actually guide that, become the catalyst instead of always being the instigator. Because if you're always the instigator and it's always coming from you, it's easy to shut you down with that phrase, even without you saying, okay, there's people in here who also want to do a great job, who are also creative. Let's pull that out. Because that to me incites almost a reciprocity thing. If you're listening to their ideas and their concerns and their creative pieces and you're pulling those out, they'll be more willing to listen to yours. That's what I believe, right? The other thing I'm thinking is, especially in a large organization, it's actually pretty easy usually to find people who are allies and find people who are either innovative, want to try new things, have a little bit of a budget to or time, or see a potential. So what I say is start small scale, especially if you're trying to do, you know, we want to be all disruptive and awesome and everybody to be gung-ho. That's not realistic. Not always. Sometimes people actually do that. They do 180. Some departments are like, this is awesome. They see it. They've just needed that extra like click, that extra piece that just makes sense to them. And they're like, yeah, okay, let's go for it. Right. And everybody's on board. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's a beautiful thing. And I've been part of those, and those are just amazing spaces to be in. It's kind of like a startup all over again. But so what I suggest is find allies, find people who are willing to go along with you. If you're always, and then it's not that you should stop pitching. You should always be pitching, right? Pitching your boss, pitching ideas, it's great. You're always, but you're at the same time, you're also educating, right? You're like, hey, what about this? Have we considered this? You're, don't stop, right? But what's going to keep you going and what's going to give you the momentum to, and the leverage in future projects is you need some wins, right? So start small. Don't go all, I'm going to go full on. Everything is going to be interactive storytelling. So, you know, I'm going to build a tiny story. I'm going to build a tiny persuasive story. And this person's willing to work with me. It's not going to take too much, you know, of their time or whatever. If you watch that, the tutorial that I have on elearningsecrets.com, you will find that it actually is, it's not that difficult. It's a very simple framework. You just have to find the right people. So that's what I'm saying is use that as leverage, get that little success. It'll keep you going. It'll get your creative juices flowing, but also at the same time, you're creating something contextual. And that's the other piece that I want to suggest. And actually talks a little bit about what Dr. Crystal said. When you're crafting an interactive story, one of the things that happens is, you know, when people look at broken coworker, it's an office bullying scenario, right? And so if you're in a different organization and you want to craft an interactive story that helps people realize, you know, how to really engage with the resources that they have for like HR stuff or performance improvement or whatever, or even compliance, they might not see it, right? They might be like, no, this, people don't have, like, the thing is, you're thinking about this stuff, right? You're like, how can I use this for my work? Or I could see the application, and you live in this world. So for you, it's an easier switch. Now, for the people who work around us, they've got their own domains that they're awesome in, and they've got their own insights that they're awesome in, but this might not be one of them, right? So one of the things you have to do is contextualize it for them. So what would you do? What I'd say is pick an area that could really benefit from an interactive story. The best places are places that already have really great training resources already, but people aren't accessing them, or they're still not using them to their full potential. And an interactive story can be the catalyst, right, that helps people recognize gaps, and then also is in a way inspiring them to jump on that learning journey. So figure out a place where that would be the most value, right, where you could see the most potential, because like I'm saying, you need some wins, because you're going to just burn out because you're not getting any good feedback, right? So make sure you get those wins. But one of the things you're doing is find an area that could benefit from it and craft something small and powerful, and then use that as a lever. And if you need to, and I've done this, sometimes this is what you need to do. In the end, it's you who's going back home and thinking about this stuff. In the end, this is for you, right? I mean, we do our work, but our work is a means to something. For some of us, it's a means to help other people. For some of us, it's a means to be creative, right? And I find I talk to actually a lot of designers who, before they join my program, my coaching program, what they do is they're creative people, but they don't have that outlet at work. So what they'll do is they'll start side projects. I just talked to somebody last week. Their side project is a YouTube channel with photography and music overlays, because and actually they did digital stories on the side, right? And I was like, okay, this person has this thing in them that they really want to do. They want to be creative. They want to be storytellers. They want to be visually, use beautiful visual communication, but they don't have the opportunity at work, right? And so they're starting all these side projects. But for me, imagine how much better you could be if all your side projects were actually improving you at your craft, the real craft that you want to be good at, which is interactive storytelling, which is amazing learning design, which is compelling persuasion, motivation, all that good stuff, right? So what I suggest is, if it's possible for you, you're going to have to do a little bit of work on your own time. Yes, yes, it's true. But this is what I say is, you can always rely on other people to give you permission, right? And there's a lot of us waiting for permission from somebody to see our potential, from somebody to be like, yes, please give me that project so I can do the work that I was meant to do. And that's not always going to happen. sometimes you have to do that for yourself. You have to give yourself permission and invest in yourself. Because even if, imagine if every weekend, and I have students like this, every weekend you chip away at your little project, and this is something you add to your portfolio. At the end of a year, right, that's 52 minimum, 52 hours that you've worked, invested in yourself, and now you have a piece that you can share because it belongs to you. Because, and also you've had full autonomy on as far as creativity, as far as design, as far as, you know, you're still doing the things that are the most engaging for your learner, but you had autonomy on that, and now you can showcase what that is. That's an investment in you. If your company decides to let you go, guess what? You still have that. That is yours. That is investment you've made in yourself. I think that's worth it. So don't wait for somebody else to recognize that you have creative potential. Do it for yourself. And if it means, yes, you know, waking up a little bit earlier, going to bed a little bit later, or, you know, foregoing something on the weekend for an hour so that you can do that, you have to do that. And you know what? I've done that. And to me, it felt like I was really in charge. It empowered me. And it's amazing when how proud you are when you show off that work and you're like, yeah, I did it. And that was me. That was all me. Nobody told me to do that. And that's pretty cool. So what I say is, if you can, craft contextual pieces that will help people see that vision. That's the long route that I was getting at, is that sometimes they can't make the connection. So just say, you know what? I know there's people who are in our organization who actually could really benefit from this. They're a little bit, you know, they're open to it. Let's see if we can make that happen and craft something meaningful for them. Something small but powerful. And that will make a huge difference because, like I said, small wins, and it's incremental. But imagine those kinds of efforts over a year. Imagine those kinds of efforts over 5 years. Awesome, right? Yeah. And Mok said, converting side projects to your core projects, that's a fun journey. Oh, I love it. I love it. Converting side projects to your core projects. Heck yeah. Awesome. So that's okay. So that's another piece that just like craft those contextual pieces for your audience. And then yes, you know, if you're in a place that's stagnant, and it will happen, I've been at those places too, where they're just like, well, here's the box, and this is our box, it's been working for us. Yes, those giants sometimes die and you lose, but that doesn't mean you lose, right? You have a choice. So if you're in a place that is stifling you creatively, or if they're not seeing the potential, and I've been hired for jobs where people are like, oh, you're so creative, we love it, we need that fresh air over here. That to me sometimes is kind of terrifying now if I hear something like that, because I'm like, oh damn it. Like there's all this pressure on me to be like the person who fights all those battles, right? And brings in the new ideas. And that can get very discouraging. And some of my projects have gone where everybody is excited at the very beginning. We're like, oh, we're gonna start something awesome and new. And then kind of like a month and a half into the project, when the energy and the, you know, the enthusiasm wears off, everybody just gets freaked out and goes back to exactly the same thing they were doing before, and we end up producing a content dump again. That was before I had a framework and a system, but it happens to almost everybody, right? It's crazy. So that's nuts, right? So one of the things you got to do is say, okay, what's my 5-year plan, my personal 5-year plan? And this workplace is a place that you want to have impact. Because I think one of the things that we really, as the people that design learning, I think a lot of us just not only want to be good at something that we're doing, but we want to impact people's lives positively, right? Like when I worked at the call center, whether I was the supervisor, whether I was the trainer, when I looked around at those people, I knew that the better I did, the better they did, and I wanted them to do well. And that's what we're here for, right? So the other person you have to think about is you. Are my skills growing? Are they going in the direction I want? So if they're not, I'm not saying, you know, Judy, you got to quit, because we got to, you know, I've taken on contracts where, heck, sometimes you just got to pay the bills, right? But that does not mean that in the background, you should not be building your skills to where you want to be in 5 years and start making that plan now so that in a year, two, or whatever, you have built up the skill set that you want. You have a portfolio that represents the work you want to do. And the next time an opportunity comes around, you're actually ready. And I talk to a lot of people who are like, oh man, something, you know, something happened. Lots of things happened recently and I'm not ready. I don't have anything to show for all the work that I've been doing. That's not cool, right? Because it leaves you very vulnerable. So you got to build up your skill set. You got to build up things that you can demonstrate, because showing is easier than telling, right? So I hope that was helpful. I know that's kind of weird because, you know, I just kind of said it out loud, but hopefully that was a useful video. I'll just send a link to Judy with this video. I hope you don't mind, Judy. I really appreciate you guys actually being here and sharing your ideas as well, because I think that we're all going to be catalysts for change as well, right? And we're always going to face new ideas. But I think a lot of that comes from the things that if you walk into every project feeling with this idea that there's going to be a ton of resistance, there's going to be a ton of resistance. So you have to walk into this project saying, and this is kind of my mantra, I'm going to get everything that I need for this project. I'm going to get everything that I need to be successful. And even if your projects don't materialize as much or as soon or as fully as you want, I want you to always think about this. And I learned this from Jim Rohn. He said, he had this great quote. He said, how many times are you going to how many times is it going to take you before you give up to teach a baby how to walk? How many times? Well, you're never going to give up, right? You're going to keep on helping that baby, pushing it, encouraging it, going at it, right? Saying, no, we're going to do it until, right? Until. And that's what you got to think about it. We're going to do this until, whether it's here or wherever the next place, I'm going to keep on pushing, pitching, persuading, motivating, kicking butt, showing ideas, delivering until you are there. The journey is the awesome part, right? Anyways, so I hope you guys found this helpful. I hope my subscriber also found it helpful. And if you have any questions about the coaching that I do, the community that we run of interactive storytellers, where people actually really support you, they're not always fighting your ideas, they're actually helping you get better, then go to elearningsecrets.com. Or if you are interested, we're opening up enrollment again at the end of this month, so next month. If that's something that you want to be a part of and you want to work directly to craft your own awesome portfolio piece, that's awesome. Make sure you put interested in the comments. I'll make sure to reach out to you. I hope you found this useful. I know it's a bit of a mix here. It's not necessarily interactive stories, but one of the things you got to do is, and I've realized this with working with my students, is I can teach you all the skills, but if you still go back to your context and you're not able to really sell those ideas to other people, and you're not able to execute on them, what's the point of learning that skill, right? So part of it is doing that. A part of it is actually not only learning a skill, but also learning how to pitch this stuff, how to be persuasive, and how to collaborate with others to make your ideas and your dreams come true. Because in the end, we're helping everybody. We're helping a lot of people do great work. All right. So thanks so much for being here, you guys. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and I'll see you here again tomorrow. Take care. Bye.
You're listening to the eLearning Scenario Design Podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.